Hello, everybody, and welcome to the third episode of our first series of Crime Pop. My name is Jeff Weirich. I'm here with Sydney Bowman.
Hello.
And Trevor Lister.
Hi there.
This is the show where we take the true crime podcast genre and instead of doing that, do the exact opposite, where we take fake crime and really end up just talking about whatever we want. Today, Trevor Lister is going to be the host. Trevor, take it away.
All right, here we go. So we're going to talk about child labor.
The buildup.
Yeah. All right. So child labor. What's another crime in this? It's neglect and mm-hmm. conspiracy to murder. I'm talking about holes.
So that's when all the music will rise when you say that. Like a.
But yeah. So holes. A great movie from my childhood, and maybe many of yours. I just love it. You know, we got Shia LaBeouf who goes off to camp. But anyway, so.
Did you also read the book?
I did read the book, and in the
really?
In the book he's like a fat kid.
Oh. Yeah, you ever read the book, Jeff?
I can't read.
Oh, I forgot. Sorry, my bad.
Sensitive topic for me.
Anyway, so. We have basically two stories going on at the same time in this film. You have modern day with Stanley Yelnats and his name is Stanley Yelnats IV. There's a third and a second still alive. And everybody in this family, they name their kid Stanley because it's Yelnats spelled backwards or the other way around, whatever. Anyway, so we follow Stanley Yelnats as he actually gets framed for a crime he did not commit, which was stealing the Sweet Feets, which is a pair of shoes that was donated by some famous sports guy, I don't remember. I think it was baseball. I don't remember the guy's name. my notes are somewhere. Anyway, so he gets framed for this crime, and he gets two choices when he gets sent to the judge. He can either go straight to jail, or he can go to Camp Green Lake, to which Stanley responds, "Well, I've never been to camp before."
Great line.
So he goes to the place, yes, that was ironically the same place that his ancestor, his great-great-grandfather, no, just his great-grandfather, kind of lived for a little bit. And you have a secondary story that we see in some kind of like flashbacks that kind of have to do directly with what is going on in Stanley's life. And we just get more of the story as we go forward. So, Stanley goes to camp, and the name is ironic because, well, can you tell me, Jeff?
It's actually an orange lake, right?
It's
not green.
Yeah,
there's no lake at all, and it's not green.
Wow! Yeah, exactly. it's just dirt and sand.
It's just dirt.
But yeah, so he goes there to his shock and surprise, and we see around him a child labor camp. That is exactly what this is. And the warden kind of has this image that she shows. Oh yeah, the warden's a woman, by the way. We don't find that out until halfway through the movie. But
is it really halfway?
No, it's like halfway through, and then like, oh, we found something important, and then there's the scene where like she just drives her car out, and then it slowly pans up. But yeah, so everybody outside the camp thinks that this is a camp for guys. Young boys to learn responsibility, build character, and all this thing by digging holes, right? Well, she's actually just looking for treasure, and she's using these children just for that. It has nothing to do with building character, really. Yeah, she's looking for treasure.
Why is she looking for treasure?
Oh yeah, why is she looking for treasure? We can go back to the other story. At this town, there used to be a lake. It was thriving. It was a great town. But how to explain exactly what happened? There was a guy who fell in love with a girl, but they couldn't be together. But yeah, so these two people couldn't be together, and when the townspeople kill the person that this woman loves, she decides to just go on a rampage. So she was a nice school teacher, just, you know, the sweetest person ever. And then she just, you know, starts murdering people and robbing banks because that's her new calling in life.
Natural progression.
She's trying to get payback, though.
No, she certainly is. Like, there are definitely reasons. But she goes around, she steals from so many people, and, you know, eventually she just gets tired, and she just takes everything that she stole, puts it in a chest, and buries it underneath the lake, which dried up because of a curse or something. Many curses.
Yep.
And these people come, the people that were actually in charge of the town previously, they find her, say, hey, you have to give us all your treasure. She's like, no, sorry, you'll never find it. And then she commits suicide by lizard bite. and then she just says, yeah, so you can just keep looking for yours. You, your children, your children's children, you'll just keep digging, and you'll never get it. And sure enough, that's what ends up happening. But that's why the treasure is there, out in the middle of nowhere. And, all right, so continuing with Stanley. He goes there. He just unwittingly stumbles across all this family heritage. He actually meets somebody whose last name is Zeroni, which is connected with his, what is it? No good, dirty, rotten, pig-stealing great-great-grandfather.
Nailed it.
Thank you. And so that goes back to another story where his great-great-grandfather wanted to marry a young woman, but she needed a pig to, or he needed a pig. He needed a pig to offer as a dowry. It turns out that she was, you know, dumb as a bag of potatoes, and he ends up leaving her. Like, he's just like, forget this. He's like, take the pig, I'll leave. But unwittingly, or I guess he just forgot, he neglected to remember. So he was given this pig by Madame Zeroni, and all she said was, you have to carry this pig up the mountain every single day. The pig will get strong. If you do this, then it will be a great pig for this marriage. She didn't approve of the marriage anyway, but she's like, you do whatever you want. And she said, the only requirement is you have to carry me up the mountain as well. If you don't, then your entire family will be cursed for all eternity, she says. And yeah, so that's how we end up with Stanley there. So trying to take a break from my exposition, what do you guys think about this child labor camp? As I'll continue to refer to it as.
I mean, wild that it wasn't discovered as a labor camp sooner.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, surely, because the movie starts with one kid leaving because he got bitten by a snake. Surely he mentioned what he did at camp, and they were like, that sounds not legal.
I don't know. He probably wanted to keep his mouth shut. I don't know, because what you have Mr. Sir, right? Who's this scary-looking dude with a gun, by the way. And you have the warden, who's just very intimidating. That's something else that happens. The Mr. Sir, or Shirley, whatever his name is, I don't remember. Marion. He starts, one night, he just starts discharging his gun. He just starts shooting in the middle of camp. And I'm just... Like straight, right? Like, he shoots, like, through, like, just a wooden fence. There could be someone on the other side.
Mm-hmm. Well, it makes me wonder how long this camp has been in existence.
Right.
Like, is this the first wave of kids that have been there? Or is this, like, you know, a couple of decades worth of kids?
And I don't know if they give any hints to that, maybe in the book, but it's been way too long since I read it. Stanley, when he goes out to finally dig, he meets Hector Zeroni, right? Familiar last name. Well, so finally these families meet, and they don't really know anything really about their connected past, but they form a friendship which really will save their lives later. At some point, Stanley ends up finding a little tube of lipstick, which belonged to the infamous Kissing Kate Barlow, the woman that went on the rampage that we talked about earlier. I should have mentioned her name there. And
fix it in post.
Yeah. And so then she goes absolutely frantic because she knows that the treasure's close. But nobody else really has any idea. I don't even think Mr. Sir or the camp counselor has any idea what she's really looking for. They just follow her blindly. Yeah. But anyway, so then they just start going nuts, digging holes. They stop digging straight down, which is what they normally have to do. They have to dig a hole that is, I guess, roughly 5 feet by 5 feet. Or at least as deep as a shovel is tall, and they just have to do this every day, which, God, that would take, man, that would suck. But they just start digging trenches, basically, and they don't find anything because Stanley actually lied about where he found the tube of lipstick because he was basically, like, being bullied by some other kid that said, you don't deserve any reward from the warden, so you should give it to me. And then they lose the location of the where the tube was found.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of moving forward, things really start to pick up when Hector Zeroni just snaps. Like, he can't take anything anymore because everybody is saying he's an idiot. All he's good for is digging. Like, nobody loves him. They say stuff like that. I don't know if they say the last one directly to him, but everybody's real mean. And so he just finally loses it, smacks the camp counselor right in the face with a shovel, and takes off into the middle of the desert. And here, of course, everybody that's managing the camp calls 911. And they send out search parties, and they look for him straight away. No, of course not. That's not what happened. They just said, no, forget him. Forget him. Like, he's an orphan. No one's going to come looking for him. We need to dig more holes. Mm-hmm. So they decide to get rid of his file. Like, we will not have any records of Hector Zeroni, and so I'm sure that just in itself breaks a million laws.
Oh, yeah.
But they just let him go off into the desert by himself. And like, all right, forget him. Well,
spoiler for holes, by the way.
Right. Sorry. I even meant to say, hey, all right, we need a spoiler warning in the beginning.
Yeah.
Hey, Jeff, fix that in post. But yeah, so Hector goes off into the desert shortly after. Stanley actually decides, you know what, I need to go after him too. So he steals the truck. The truck that is meant to bring water out for everybody. He just steals. Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
Yeah. But I actually think camp is close enough that it's not a huge deal. Because toward the end when, skip forward. Toward the end, when Hector and Stanley are digging and actually looking for the treasure, Hector's like, hey, just hold on, I'll go grab another shovel and I'll be right back. So it can't be too far.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, so Stanley goes after Hector, only to find out that Hector found a boat that probably that belonged to the lover of Kissing Kate Barlow, right, that fell to the bottom of the lake because that's where he was shot, and the boat was left there. It was full of peaches, funny enough, which is actually a really important plot device that they use throughout, and actually what makes Stanley's family rich in the end. but we'll get to that. They find this location. They start talking, and Stanley mentions, you know, the only reason that... No, I should... Okay, before I continue with that, I should explain one thing about kissing Kate Barlow's connection to Stanley's family. So Stanley's great-grandfather had a run-in with kissing Kate Barlow, where she robbed him and left him out in the middle of the desert to die. And the only reason that Stanley's great-grandfather made it was because he went to the top of God's Thumb. Nobody knows what's at the top of God's Thumb, but they're like, yeah, we should go to that. Which makes me wonder, and let me know what you guys think. All that stuff happened like 100 years prior to Stanley going to camp. And so, like, why would they believe that there's still something up at the top of God's Thumb?
Yeah, right. I mean, I had the same thing. Like, why would you ever believe that there's still even treasure there? Like, with how quickly things can move. Like, it's in the middle of the desert. The treasure chest could be 50 feet below the sand, right? I don't know how any of that's still there.
You know what's interesting is that these family stories carry through these generations like this. Mm-hmm. Like, they were so impactful in a way that they... Like, I don't know shit about my great-great-great-grandma. like, I don't know. That's just really cool.
No, for sure. But yeah, so Hector and Stanley, they're like, you know what? Instead of going back to camp, let's go straight up that mountain.
Let's go die on top of a mountain.
Yeah, let's go die together on top of the mountain. Like, they have no water. They ran out of the peaches. And, like, they're just like, yeah, you know what? We could... Fuck it.
Yeah, exhausted, dehydrated, in the desert. Let's go rock climbing.
Yeah, exactly. which, when you actually get, like, zoom, like, camera angles of what this actually is, like, it's just almost like a sheer cliff. It goes, like, straight up.
Yeah, like K2.
Yeah. Like, God, but they make it to the top, of course. And that ties back into Stanley's family curse of... when his great-great-grandfather didn't take Madame Zeroni up the mountain. So by actually helping Hector up the mountain and toward the top, he actually has to carry him up because, like you were talking about, he faints from dehydration. Mm-hmm. Like, he's exhausted. Stanley actually has to carry him up the rest of the way, which actually ends up breaking the curse. The curse, by the way, was everybody in Stanley's family was just so incredibly unlucky, right? That's why he ended up getting framed for the shoes, which Hector actually ended up stealing. That was him. And he gets framed for trying to shoplift somewhere else, like, the very next day.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, that's how they both ended up in camp. But there, up at the top, they find life-giving water. They find the sweetest onions that they've ever tasted. And yeah, and that's the second piece to the puzzle, peaches and onions, right? But anyway, and then they decide, you know what? Let's do something else crazy. Let's go back to camp and look for that treasure.
Because Stanley's feeling lucky.
So, yeah, exactly. He looks up at the stars, like, or so, whatever. He looks up. He's like, you know what? I'm feeling lucky, for the first time, ever. Which I guess
so. Google.
Sorry.
So he's Google.
Yeah. Yes. Right.
I'm feeling lucky button.
Yes, he is. Right. Yeah, he smacks the shit out of that button. They they climb down the sheer cliff with lightning speed. They just skip all that part, though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No, I bet they just jumped, or there was a there was a slide or an elevator down the back. I don't know.
Yeah.
But they head back. Stanley actually knew where he found the tube of lipstick, so he knew where to look. They start digging, and, like, before... sun up, they actually find it. Unfortunately, the warden and Mr. Sir, let me see, the counselor too, like, they're all there.
Mom.
Yeah, mom. They end up finding them. I don't know why they were out there in the middle of the night.
Did they drive the truck back? Maybe they saw the truck.
No. The truck ended up, like, going straight into a hole.
Oh, that's right.
He crashed it. It was awesome. So they just show up, and then they're like, all right. Oh, you found the treasure. Great. And because they were all just saying, hey, we should just, like, forget these kids ever existed. Ah. But there were going to be problems with Stanley, because Stanley has a family. The lawyer the day before actually came to say, hey, Stanley should be free to go.
Because he got lucky.
Because he got lucky. Yeah. No, yeah. But now they have a problem. Okay, the kids came back. What do they do with them? Well, their first thought is, let's just shoot them. We've got plenty of holes. But right at that moment, right, the lawyer comes back so early in the morning, like right in the nick of time. Like seriously, like 10 seconds later, and they probably would have shot Hector and then tried to hide Stanley. But then...
I'm just excited. This is my favorite part of the movie.
But then the yellow-spotted lizards just cover Stanley and Zero. And then what we know from the whole movie, basically, because they talk about how deadly the lizards are and what we saw with Kissing Kate Barlow, one bite will, you know, just... It's lights out. And so we expect Hector and Stanley to just keel over. Everything's easy for the warden. But no, they don't bite them. Jeff, why don't they bite them?
Because of the onions that they eat.
Because of the onions. And...
When you talk about the movie, like when you're not watching it and you're just explaining it, this movie is real weird.
Onions, man. Onions.
Onions.
But yeah, and then, like, from here... The warden's life, we can just look at this from the perspective of the warden. The warden's life just starts crumbling apart.
Mm-hmm.
Because she wants to just take the chest, say, hey, they stole my chest. They're no good stealers. Let me just take this and I'll be on my way. But of course, Hector, Zero, as some people call him, knows that Stanley's last name is his first name backwards. He can't read, but he knows letters now.
Mm-hmm.
And he realizes, like, oh, this is Stanley's. And then from there, you know, Stanley just keeps getting luckier and luckier. Like, everything starts working out for him. The camp is going to get shut down because the police look into the camp just a little bit and realize that they got rid of records. Like, so what's even going on here? They look into it further, and they see that we have a felon looking after the children.
Mm-hmm.
He carries a gun. He's not supposed to. And so everything's going to get shut down. Everything's going to be a lot better for the children. And Hector actually ends up going back with Stanley. And they get to live there, and they become filthy rich, and everything starts working out. Because in the chest there were money, like bail, or there were bonds, right? Money notes.
I don't know.
And yeah, they're worth millions. Like each one is worth millions of dollars. And yeah, everything just kind of works out toward the end. I didn't really explain about peaches and onions, but what about you guys?
So. What would be, like, the jail time consequence for the warden? Like, between forcing labor, falsifying intentions, shredding records, hiring a felon, conspiracy for murder. Like, that's a huge... That's a lot of strikes, man.
No, it really is. I don't know if any of those are, like... It can be punishable by life in prison, but I'm sure adding up, like, right. It's going to be the rest of her life.
Mm.
I find it interesting that the lawyer can go to the camp, but there's no parents or visitation or Like, why aren't parents seeing this and realizing what...
Well, right. Like the first person with sense comes along. Like, she's at the camp for 35 seconds. And like, what's happening here?
Right.
Like, nothing makes any sense.
I think they really sell that image of building characters. So they probably say, yeah, parents shouldn't come here. Like...
Yeah.
It probably something silly like that.
And Stanley is lying about what's happening at camp. Like, he writes a letter to his mom about, like, jet skiing or what have you.
Yeah, he's like, oh, I love going to the lake. Oh, and we get to, like, play water polo. I don't know what he said. But,
yeah.
Like, just everything's great. Yeah, so that probably also feeds into it if the other kids are doing that or if nobody is riding home to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, actually, yeah, so most of these kids, like, they are probably considered to be plagues on society. So their parents, yeah. their parents are probably just like, yeah, so, like, take them off my hands.
That's a good point. Stanley's parents are probably the first that actually cared about what was happening.
Yeah, because he didn't do anything.
Like, right.
Shoes just fell from the sky and knocked him.
And terminal velocity shoes. Like, that would have been a comet. Right? Like, it's amazing that he could still speak after that hit his head.
No, it's true. And I think they were cleats, too.
I think he was a football player. The athlete, right?
I don't know. I just have an image of, like, a baseball poster in...
I know that he was in the commercial at the end, right?
Oh, yeah, the Sweet Feats. Or, no, Sploosh. Sploosh.
Sweet
Feats. Sploosh, sorry.
Right, which was the peaches, right?
Peaches and onions.
Peaches and onions.
Yeah, that's the secret to not making your shoes stink anymore, in case you didn't know.
Which is how the family got rich, right?
They invested the money that they got from the buried treasure.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped them get everything. Yeah, and so they could continue being rich, you know? Anyway, I guess that's it. I chose holes because, like, I just thought it was, like, it's an interesting situation. Like, creating a camp to, you know, fulfill your heart, like, your heart's desire. Just use child labor to make money.
And it was, again, one of those things at the end where it was, like, if she was a different character, it would have been a sad moment because they got the treasure chest, they put it in the trunk, they're about to drive away, and she says that she just wants to look inside. Like, she just wants it open so she can see what it was. And Stanley says, what does he say? Excuse me? What is it?
Oh, yeah, it's, I don't remember, but basically he's just like, no, and
he's like, suck a dick, dumb shits, and closes the lid.
Yeah, no, she was broken at that point, like, or like, because what her father, I guess, whoever, yeah, I think it was her father, or grandfather, one of the two.
I think it was grandfather, yeah.
Yeah, it makes more sense. Like, made her dig her entire life.
And even on Christmas.
Even on Christmas. And so she spent her whole life looking for this, and it was right in front of her. And it just gets stripped away by this dumb kid that she wanted to murder.
Yeah, who was there for... How long do you think he was at the camp?
Probably months.
Oh, really?
Yeah, not several months, but... Like, I think...
It's a few.
Yeah, like they... At least in the movie, because I didn't reread the book. I rewatched the movie. They skip a lot of time. Like, they just, like, show up and, like, oh, yeah, like, this happened 3 days ago or 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Like, they just skip time. yeah, he was out there. He built character.
He did. He built a relationship with the whole crew.
Yeah.
There's so many great one-line. This doesn't have to be in the episode, but there's so many great one-lines in the movie. Like the, well, I've never been to camp before thing. There's a part where something happens where Stanley is, like, about to get into a fight with another guy. And, like, Stanley's friends come up and, like, back him up, like, knock it off. And they're all kind of talking about it, and they refer to Stanley as caveman. Mm-hmm. and they say, oh, like, yeah, that we need to keep an eye on that guy. And someone else goes, yeah, nobody messes with cavemen. And Samuel goes, no, I don't want to mess with anybody.
not realizing who caveman is yet.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of really good moments with that.
Real quick, yeah. You actually reminded me of something else that happens, which is, no, it's not where Zero snaps, but toward the end, Stanley gets into another fight, I think maybe with the same guy, and like they just start getting into it, and Mom, he goes, go ahead, Stanley, punch him in the face.
Oh, that's right.
Beat him up.
Yeah.
And then, things get a little out of hand, and then Mom goes and gets a shotgun. She's like, when I say stop, I mean it. But anyway, like, yeah, that whole situation of like, not really taking care of the kids at all. Like, they don't even care.
He was supposed to be, like, a doctor or something, right?
He was not, though.
He wasn't.
I forget exactly what it was, but at the end, she's like, the warden's like, I didn't know you were a felon. And Mr. Surrey goes, yeah, just like you didn't know that he wasn't really a doctor.
Right. Right. Which is another, also wildly illegal.
Yeah.
I also wanted to say that the soundtrack for that movie is phenomenal.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm looking up.
100%. Acting also phenomenal. Shia LaBeouf was great in that movie.
He's just amazing always.
He is. Champion.
That was one of his first movies, I think, and he rocked it.
He really did.
I looked up a couple of things I checked out his Wikipedia page after I rewatched the movie, and apparently, like, he decided to become an actor because of, like, having a rough, or maybe an actor, comedian, one of the two, because he had a rough childhood, and he just went with it. Just kept going.
He killed it.
Yeah.
And he really, aside from, like, the things he does in real life, he really is good in everything. Like, even if the thing isn't good, he's almost always the best part of it.
Yeah.
The true crime is that he's not cast in more roles, really. Can this become a Shia LaBeouf fan podcast?
Absolutely.
Completely pivot.
What about crimes?
Yeah, all right. We'll keep the name, but nothing else.
Right, because once you make the social media, it can't go back.
Right.
Yeah, I guess I'd just say that looking back, this movie had a lot of things that I didn't remember when going back, and I found it kind of fun to, like, analyze just a little bit and just have a new perspective on looking at something again.
It's got to be cool to, like, while the illegal activities they do are important, but a lot of the movie, that's not the main focus of the conversations. And so it's got to be fun to rewatch a movie that you've seen so many times, focusing on a specific aspect of it, so you get to take more of it in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, instead of just, like, being exposed to everything all at once and just trying to enjoy the story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really fun, and I look forward to doing that in the future with other projects.
Sweet. I also look forward to it.
Definitely.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us. This was the last of this series that we're doing. And by series, I mean recording 3 episodes in a row in a single day. My name has been Jeff. Today was hosted by Trevor. Sydney was also here providing color commentary. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. But yeah, thank you so much for watching. Tell a friend, rate 5 stars, leave a review. We always appreciate it. We read every single one of them. There's been thousands so far. I mean, untold numbers, really. The stars in the sky do not compare to the amount of reviews we've received thus far. But we really do appreciate it. We really appreciate everybody who listens. And that's all we got for today. Thanks so much for listening. Have a good one.